Score! Score! Score!
The San Jose Sharks proudly present Sharks Hockey Digest. Here's your host, Dan Rusinowski.
From SAP Center at San Jose, an important day in the history of the San Jose Sharks as the 11th coach in the history of the franchise, Ryan Warsawski, will be introduced to the media. We have coverage of that and interviews and lots of reactions here at the Shark Tank. I'm Dan Rusinowski. Great to be with you in this offseason alongside Ted Ramey. And Ted, this is a big day in the history of the franchise. Anytime you have a new head coach, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I've been saying it for the past week or so. This feels like a very exciting day, a very big day as we've been building towards it. And like you alluded to, it's the dawn of a new era for the San Jose Sharks. This is going to be the start of what we feel is the build-up from what was previously, and now we're looking forward towards a new timeline for the San Jose Sharks. There's going to be new faces. There's going to be a lot that we don't even know of at this point, things that we're going to learn in the next few months about who's going to be populating the team. And obviously, there's a very big draft on the horizon, but really it does start today with this press conference to introduce, like you said, the 11th head coach in the history of the franchise.
And of course, a lot of questions will be answered today about the direction that Mike Greer, the general manager who was on hand, along with Ryan Warsawski, the head coach, and the entire staff will take. But one thing's for certain, last season was a very painful experience for Sharks fans, but I have to say it was that way for the coaches as well.
It was a necessary step that the franchise had to go through as you're trying to create cap space, you're trying to create more draft capital, you're trying to give yourself a better opportunity for the future. So it doesn't always lend itself to having the most pain-free of existences, as we'll say. But hopefully, Ryan Warsawski, as he's been through all of that, he knows what those painful moments are like, the growing pains. He's been through them to an extent, especially with that NHL experience on top of the other coaching experience he's had. So he knows that he can handle it. He's seen what this league can throw at him. He's been through it. And I think that arms him with what he needs in his arsenal to take as the head man for this staff.
He's got a very interesting background for the person who would be named for this position. One of the interesting factors is that he's been an assistant coach of a team and then assumed the role as head coach after that. That doesn't always work very well, but I think that he's really prepared to do that. He did that with the South Carolina Stingrays. He did that with the Charlotte Checkers in the ECHL and the AHL, respectively. And then, of course, he won a Calder Cup with the Chicago Wolves back in 2022. That is the championship of the American Hockey League. That's a big, big deal to be able to win that trophy. And he did that with a combination of veteran players that were on that team, people like former Shark Stephen Nason, Josh Levo, who's played for a couple of teams in the NHL, but also young players like Luke Evangelista, who's now playing for the Nashville Predators. And it's kind of funny. I talked to Luke Evangelista about Ryan Warsawski. He was one of the kids on that Chicago Wolves team, and he told us what it's like to play for this man.
One thing I loved about being coached by Warzo, he was super passionate, super fiery, like, you know, in the games, in meetings, that kind of thing. He cared a lot, and I think, you know, in that sense, he kind of rubbed off on the rest of the team. Like he kind of, even as a coach, he kind of drags you into the fight. Like you can't help but, you know, get fired up by his attitude towards the game. And he was a fun guy to play for, super passionate. So some good memories there.
I think that's a very interesting memory from an opponent now, Luke Evangelista, because he talked about one phrase that I really loved. He drags everybody into the fight.
Yeah.
I think that that's a huge deal.
Yeah, that's what I focused in on as well, because it tells you that he's getting through to the players, whether they be younger, whether they be veterans. They're all feeling that what he's pitching to them is genuine. It's authentic. It's not contrived. It's not just a tactic to get the team to try and give that much more of a performance out there on the ice. That only works if the coach means it, if he's coming from a place that's authentic. And I think when you hear a player say something like that, and you're talking about a guy who worked with veterans and worked with young players, that'll probably be pretty similar to what he's going to be dealing with here in San Jose. There are going to be a number of young faces. We've known that's been coming, but there are these veterans that are sprinkled into the mix. And knowing how to find that balance to motivate the players at different stages of their career, I have to assume that's one of the reasons why Mike Greer honed in on him.
Without question of a doubt. And of course, knowing where the roadways are, so to speak, I'd like to use the phrase where the bodies are buried, but maybe that's the wrong way to put it. Knowing where the roadways are in San Jose, knowing the players themselves, being able to coach the defense on this team the last 2 years work with them on the penalty kill, but also work directly on the five-on-five with the defensive players and help a player like Erik Karlsson, an established superstar, have an amazing season 2 years ago, and yet at the same time working with a young player like Henry Thrun or Shakir Muhammadulin or a player of that nature. These are things that the new head coach of this team is going to have to understand, because the Sharks are going to be developing young players at the NHL level, and certainly with the number one overall draft pick and the 14th overall pick in the first round this season, I think that that's another factor that you're probably going to work with those guys this year.
36 years old, going to be 37 right around the time that the season does start, but you have to imagine that he's been around enough to where he's got the experience, but he's going to have that younger mindset to where he understands how to deal with what we would call the modern athlete. We know that's something that changes, what we call the modern athlete, every 10 years or so, but having a coach that understands the mentality, the motivations, the different aspects of their entire existence as a player now, the pressure that comes from social media, the pressure that comes from the podcast sphere, that comes from all these things that are outside of traditional broadcast media that didn't exist 20 years ago. This is something that young players are dealing with when they're 15, 16, 17 years old. Ask Connor Bedard about that, how long people have been talking about him, or any number of top-level prospects. He knows that these players have been dealing with that, and I think him having that understanding, being aware of what the media landscape is like and the pressures that these young players that he's going to be tasked with developing, that's a huge asset.
And, of course, he's going to depend on some of those veteran players on the Sharks roster now. The great hope, obviously, is that Captain Logan Couture can recover and return to the level of play that he has always brought to fans in San Jose and the NHL. But he's also got Mikael Granlund under contract for this coming season. He led the team in scoring. He had a total of 60 points on the year. Really an outstanding player and a great mentor to his line mates, William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund, both of whom showed a tremendous amount of progress. A coach depends on those players, and in fact, Granlund was part of one of the great successes of the season, that crazy comeback in Detroit back on December the 7th.
Off the draw, Red Wings skate on the attack. Zetterlund checks it away from Larkin, but Larkin's a great skater. He goes back to his own zone to get that loose puck. A headman feed, Raymond. He's played well tonight. Crosses the San Jose line, throws it across the rink. Wallman in deep. Drops it back to the right point off the skate of Raymond. It's poked at by Zetterlund. He's giving it a race. He might have a breakaway. He comes in, delayed penalty, throws it across. Granlund shoots, and he scores! Mikael Granlund just won the game for the Sharks in the most spectacular comeback in many a year. The Sharks win 6-5 in overtime.
The most dramatic of the 19 wins that the Sharks had last season, Mikael Granlund the winner. I know you agree with this. He's just such a good person to have around this dressing room, but also to lead those young line mates of his on the ice.
Nothing phases him. I think that was the most easily identifiable aspect of his personality. You would talk to him after wins. You'd talk to him after losses. He would obviously be sometimes dismayed with the results, but he wasn't fazed by it. He was not getting too high or too low, no matter the outcome. And obviously, once he was healthy, after he took a knock early on in the season, he was productive. He was effective. I talked to him on a number of occasions, and he talked about how he felt that he was playing the best hockey of his career. And I think that that's something that the Sharks are going to have to look to get even more out of him with this upcoming season while he's able to maximize his line mates. We have an idea of what we think it's going to be, talking about that Lund line, but obviously things change from year to year. But it's very exciting, and I think we look at some of those aspects from last year. And then we also have a guy, you know, like a Matt Benning coming back from injury, his veteran presence and what that will be able to add to the San Jose Sharks. And there's some other restricted free agents and that we have our relative expectations about. I won't go too far deep into that, but there are guys who are going to be here that Warsawski is going to be able to lean on, that he can count on for their veteran experience, that he can count on for them to show the young guys the right way of doing things, the Sharks' way of doing things.
And one of the really exciting things is that one of those young guys is Will Smith, coming out of Boston College. They were the number one team ranked in the country for most of the year, and I think that he developed a tremendous amount, was one of the people in the discussion for the Hobey Baker Award, which for fans that might not be concerned or aware of that, is the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy in college hockey. And of course, the other guy that actually won the award, Macklin Celebrini, yes, I dare say his name, is obviously the consensus thought for the number one overall pick which the Sharks have in the upcoming NHL entry draft. And may I promote, Ted, that we're going to have a live coverage show from the draft party right here at SAP Center on the 28th. I think it's going to be a very exciting time. I'm hearing there's about 12,000 people that are going to be packed into SAP Center at San Jose for the draft party. And I think that that just goes to show you how excited the fan base is.
Emphasis on party, by the way. We know the draft is going on, but last year the atmosphere that we had here was phenomenal. Obviously a very big draft for the San Jose Sharks, and this year just as big, if not bigger. And so with all those fans in attendance here at SAP Center, we're going to be broadcasting live on the Sharks Audio Network. I encourage everyone to listen in. I know that we are getting our friend Drew Remenda in town as well, so he'll be joining us. That's going to be a phenomenal night. And even though we do have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen with that number one overall pick, I know that there's a lot of different questions that still surround the 14th overall pick, and obviously the entirety of the draft for the San Jose Sharks. I mean, we've been talking about these big decisions that Mike Greer has been tasked with since he took over as the general manager for the San Jose Sharks. And maybe this year, the number one is a relatively easy one, but he's still got some big decisions to make. He's still got big moves to make in free agency. All these topics are going to be on the horizon. We're going to have a lot to get into for that draft. Again, emphasis party that's happening here on the 28th.
Today's a party too, because it's always a celebratory moment when the team introduces a new head coach. We've done this 11 official times in the history of the club. And Ryan Warsawski is not the youngest head coach in the history of the San Jose Sharks. He's right up there, a little bit younger than Kevin Constantine was back in 1993. Kevin was 34 years of age when he was named the coach of the Sharks. And Ryan Warsawski, 36, is going to turn 37 in late October after the Sharks season has started. And that's another thing that we always look forward to. Whenever a season is upcoming, the first thing you want to look at is the schedule. And it has not been released yet. We're very excited about it. I don't know about you, Ted, but what broadcasters tend to do, play-by-play announcers that are traveling with the team, we don't look at the home schedule. We look at the road schedule.
See where the road's
going to
take
you.
Yeah, exactly. No, and that'll be fun. We know those, obviously, there's going to be those East Coast road trips, and I'm sure there's some steakhouses that you've identified over the years and some other some other good restaurants. But here's my question for you, Dan, because you have been here since not the official day one of the franchise, but about as close as we can get to that.
Day one for the first game.
Yes, for the first game. We'll go to that one. But when we are talking about these coaches, when you're watching these introductory press conferences, since you've seen it, well, what are you looking for personally? What are you hoping to hear? What are you going to be looking at in this first year? We know he's a good talker. Broadcasters always appreciate that when the guy can be a good interview. But what do you hope to hear? What do you hope to see today and throughout this first year at the helm?
What the most important thing that a coach can do above all else, aside of the usual things, have a system, have a plan, be organized and so forth. The most important thing that a head coach can do is to express to the players that he believes in them. Mm-hmm. And that's because there are going to be some times when a head coach who's been an assistant coach has a different role, and he might have to have an uncomfortable conversation with a player at certain points in the year. The player has to understand that that's coming from the coach because he's trying to make them a better player and a better person. And that's the goal. So to me, that's the most important thing, that the coach can communicate that to the players, that he can get the buy-in from the players to the system that he wants, which often happens when that belief is there. And I think that Ryan is an ideal candidate for that. The players that work with him, all of the defensemen, really enjoyed the type of feedback that they had with him. And realistically, I think that that's another factor why they named him the head coach. He knows where the roadways are, as I mentioned, but he also understands where the team is headed. And I think that that's an important thing, too, that he's able to deal with all of those challenges.
There is the air of continuity in the fact that he's been here, that he knows the players, that he knows what motivates these guys, that he knows their games. In terms of the importance there and him getting named this 11th head coach in franchise history, how important is that? Because it doesn't make everyone coming with a clean slate. He's obviously got his own system, his own tactics, his own ideas of what he wants to do. But it feels like that gives everyone a better chance to hit the ground running on day one.
Well, we're talking about that, obviously, and we will get the idea of who his assistant coaches will be. We obviously have several on staff. We'll see how that all transpires. I talked to him this morning, and he said that he has not really made a final conclusion as to how his staff is going to be assembled. And, of course, they have to make decisions, too. So that'll be part of the process in the next few days. But I don't think it'll take very long. One thing that he mentioned, this is really important, He says that we're all in this together, so to speak, and he says that basically you want to have it so that not only everybody's in on the fight, but that the coaches are very tight because they're going to be spending all sorts of time together. And in the meantime, we've got our press conference assembling, and we want to make sure that that we're ready to go. In a moment, Kyle Stutzel of the San Jose Sharks Media Relations Department will be stepping forward and getting started with our news conference. And here comes Mike Greer and Ryan Warsofsky and Jonathan Becker, the president and CEO of the organization. So let's go to the news conference right now.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kyle Stutzel. I'm the Media Relations Manager for the San Jose Sharks. I'd like to welcome those here in attendance at SCP Center and those who are watching today on all of our Sharks digital platforms, including the Sharks Plus SAP Center app presented by Western Digital, NBCSportsBayArea.com, and listening on the Sharks Audio Network. In just a moment, we'll start with some prepared remarks from our President of Sharks Sports and Entertainment, Jonathan Becker, and Sharks General Manager, Mike Greer. At that point, we will introduce today's distinguished guest. Following the prepared remarks, we'll open it up for questions to our media here in attendance. At the end of the Q&A, we'll have a photo opportunity with our three guests at the front of the stage. So with that, I'd like to introduce Sharks Sports and Entertainment President, Jonathan Becker.
Thanks. I'd like to add my welcome to everyone that's been able to join us today. For the last couple of weeks, we've been saying the future is teal. And today, the future looks even more teal. Ryan, I got to say, it looks great with that pin on your collar there. Ultimately, the job of hiring a head coach goes to the general manager. But consistent with Mike's collaborative style, he's invited several others to be involved in the process, including me. And similar to how we hired Mike as a general manager, we started with a very broad brush of candidates, but relatively quickly narrowed it down to a handful. Obviously, and not surprisingly, this was a role that attracted a ton of candidates. Although amusingly, several of them tried to circumvent the process. I had some candidates and quite a few agents try to contact me directly to say why they should be the next head coach of the San Jose Sharks. But ultimately, Ryan really separated himself from the pack. Yes, for all the hockey reasons, his game plan preparation, his attention to detail, and frankly, the fact that he's been a very successful head coach before. But it's beyond that. Ryan's communication style, his authentic way of dealing with everybody, his deep knowledge of the situation that we're in right now. And frankly, Ryan, one thing that really stood out that last time we talked is your passion for San Jose and the community. You are authentically a Shark. And so it gives me great excitement to welcome Ryan as the next head coach of the San Jose Sharks. Congrats, Ryan.
Thank you.
With that, I pass the puck to our general manager, Mike Greer.
Thanks, Jonathan. Hope all the dads out here had a good Father's Day yesterday, first and foremost. But thank you all for being here. I see a lot of familiar faces and a lot of people put in a lot of time and effort behind the scenes to make the Sharks organization such a special place. And for you guys to come out here today to support us means a lot. And it's a real special day for the organization, for the city, for our team, to be here where we are today. And I'm thrilled and proud and super excited to announce the next head coach of the San Jose Sharks, Ryan Warsofsky.
Thank you, Mike and Jonathan, and obviously thank you for everyone for being here and some familiar faces, and it's good to come back here to the tank and see some people that I just saw just a few months ago. So this is an exciting time for myself, my family, and the Sharks organization to move forward. You know, I think we're starting to see this light at the end of the tunnel. There's some hopes and excitement to the future here, and I'm excited to be part of it. I'd like to thank you, just some people here that helped me along the way, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions about how we'll play hockey and the systems and the structure, so we'll get to that as we go here. But I want to thank our owner, Hasso Plattner, for his support. I want to thank Jonathan Becker for his support and his communication throughout this whole process. I want to thank Mike Greer and his staff, Tom Holy, Joe Will, Charlie Townsend, and the process that we had was very thorough, and I appreciated this opportunity to sit down with you guys and discuss my vision of the next future of the Sharks. I want to thank some people that are here today and big people, mentors in my life. My agent, Neil Glassberg, who's been important to me. So thank you, Neil. Obviously, you guys have seen my start. I started Division III school, Curry College. TJ Manasterski gave me a start into coaching. So I want to thank him. And then, sorry, I'm a little emotional because this just I wear it right on my sleeve, as you'll probably will see. I emailed the guy when I was my first year done at Curry. There was an assistant job open in South Carolina in the ECHL. Rob Concannon, who's here. I emailed him. 10 minutes later, he called me. Changed my life forever. So he's got some sprinkled dust down there because he's hired 3 NHL head coaches, and Jared Bednar and Spencer Carberry. He's one of my great friends, and love you, Rob. Spencer Carberry, like I mentioned, I worked for him for 3 years, head coach in Washington right now. He's the man that molded me to the coach I am, so I need to thank Spence. He's one of my best friends. He's had a huge impact in my coaching career, and I can't thank him enough. Mike Vellucci, who hired me in Charlotte. We won a championship together in the American Hockey League. You know, Mike really took another chance, who didn't really know me. So I really appreciate everything he's taught me. And again, winning a championship, you kind of walk together for life. So I want to thank to Mike Vellucci. David Quinn, and he's a great man. He's a great coach. Along with Mike, he brought me here 2 years ago. I need to thank Quinny. He's a really good man. He's a good friend, and I learned a lot, and I'll be forever grateful for him taking a chance to bring me to the National Hockey League and here in San Jose. A lot of mentors over the years, you know, Rob Brindamore, Jared Bednar, Mike Sullivan, who got me started into coaching when I was just 16 years old. He was coaching the Boston Bruins, and I'd go in there and you know, try to learn from him and be a sponge. To this day, he's a phone call away and always there to support me. So I have to thank to Sully out in Pittsburgh. The hard part, to get to this point, the way I got here is probably a little bit different than some people, and you need support from your family. I got 3 brothers, Adam, Jared, and David, who keep me humble. They'll also be my Monday morning quarterback. I'm sure I'll get a lot of texts and calls of things they want me to do differently. But they're a great sound system for me and soundboard, and I'm so grateful to have 3 loving brothers. My parents, they're here today. Like I said, I started in ECHL, not making a lot of money, and I had to have some support. So I thank my mom and dad for all those times bringing me to the rink, supporting me through the tough times, tough decisions. I love you guys so much, and thankful you guys are here today. My lovely wife and beautiful wife, Caroline, who's been the rock of our family when I'm not around. We've been there together since day one at Curry at this small, freezing cold rink in Milton, Massachusetts. She'd sit up there with a hot chocolate and try to stay warm. And here we are in the National Hockey League. It's a dream come true with you by my side. I think in whatever we do in life, we all have a why. And my why is I love to win. Okay, I love to win. It's what drives me. I love being in a locker room after a game, seeing the team celebrate together. I love seeing individuals have success and grow and develop and reach their goals that they never thought were possible. I love all that stuff. That's really important to me. But my real why is my kids. Cal and Lucy, who probably don't really know what's going on right now. But when I'm not there a lot, and after a tough loss or a tough road trip, they're there to greet me at the door with a big smile on their face. They're the reasons why I do this. So I thank you guys and my support and my family for being here today. Again, I'm super excited for this. I'm humbled by this. I can't wait to stick it started. The process is already in full force, and I can't wait for September. So I thank you guys very much for all being here.
Thanks, Ryan. So with that, we will now go ahead and take some questions from our media in attendance. Since this press conference is being broadcast, we do ask you to utilize the wireless mic that we have over here. If you have any questions, just raise your hand. We can take it from there.
First of all, Ryan, congratulations. Just through the process, it obviously took a while, and you've talked about your path. What was the first, like, when you took a second to kind of look back and be like, I'm now the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, what went through your mind?
Probably all the work that took to get here. You know, the ECHL is not an easy league to coach in. You're, you know, booking the bus, the plane, the meals, the rooms. You know, there's a lot of hours that you need to put into it. So probably just the hours and the work that I've put in throughout my career. And I know it's fast-tracked in certain moments, but, you know, it's still sometimes, I'm still trying to hit me a little bit. But, again, I'm excited and I'm fortunate to have this opportunity.
Ryan over here, I'm sorry. Curtis Michalka, Bay Area News Group. What's the identity that you want the Sharks team to have, and how will it be any different from maybe how the Sharks were the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think, I mean, listen, there's been a lot of new coaches, and not one coach has got up and said we want to play slow and we want to be passive. So we want to be fast. We want to get on teams. There'll be a very distinct look of what our team looks like. I can tell you that right now. I think fans will leave our building and say, wow, that was a fun team to watch, win or lose. The opponent will say, man, that was a tough team to play against. So I think there'll be some changes structurally for sure. But I think what you'll be proud of the team that we put on the ice. It will be clean. There'll be structure, and there'll be their effort based that will be distinct throughout the whole building.
Question for Mike. What was your process like in terms of how many people you spoke to, how many finalists you might have had, and ultimately why was Ryan the right guy for this team right now?
We had a pretty thorough search. Not going to get into the numbers of how many people we talked to, but we talked to, you know, a good amount of people. We wanted to be thorough and make sure that, you know, we were checking all the boxes that needed to be checked. But at the end of the day, we went down to, and you can see it today, you can see the passion, the emotion that Ryan has. And that meant a lot to me and the staff. So that's, at the end of the day, that's what matters. You need to care. You need to have passion. You need your team to play that way. It's an 82-game season. It's a long season, and we have to play with emotion and play with energy. And I think those things really resonated with me, and the fact he's won. He's always won whatever level he's been at. And he's a great communicator, which is going to be important. We're going to have a young group here, and connecting and speaking with and bonding with these young players is going to be, it's going to be super important. It's going to be a big, big part of us taking the next step forward. So he just checked every box there was. And on top of that, he's a great human being and a great person. And that's what we're striving to have in this organization as much as possible.
Ryan, congratulations. Wanted to ask you about your coaching staff. There's a report that maybe Brian Wiseman will come back. Also, other members of the coaching staff. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, Mike and I are still going through that process, and you know, I think in the coming days and weeks we'll finalize the staff. But you know, we just started that process.
Will you be looking for under David? There were three assistants. Would it be three assistants, two, or two assistants?
Yeah, we're probably going to go with, you know, three assistants. So we're still working through the details and going through that process as we started that kind of today.
All right, congratulations again.
Thank you.
Mike, I have a question for you. Last year, obviously, it was a struggle for the Sharks. And so I think the obvious question is, you know, what made Ryan stand out in such a tough season that you would promote a guy from, you know, that team?
Well, it's a lot of things I just kind of went over. You know, he stayed positive throughout. He did a great job communicating and coaching our D. I think if you ask Henry Thrun and Ty Emberson and Shakir when they were up here, the care he gave them each and every day and the ability to keep working and developing them and spending time with them through video and on the ice when, like you said, it was a long season. It would have been easy just to, as soon as practice is over, to hit the road and get out of there. But he never did that. He never hid from the situation we were in, and he kept putting the time in and working with these kids, and that's something that you know, meant a lot to me as a GM.
And, Mike, reports were that it was down to Ryan and Marco Sturm. So do you have any comment on Marco and just talking with him about the job?
Was that your report that it came down to those two? Or?
Yeah, actually, yes.
Yeah. So it was. That's not accurate. But, no, I talked to Marco. Marco did interview. He did a good job. I spoke to him afterwards and let him know that, you know, Ryan was just a better fit. And we had a good conversation about, you know, maybe some of the things he can, in my view, that maybe he can improve for his next job. But he's a good coach and a good person and very passionate about the Sharks.
All right, Michael Robertson, African-American athlete. So I have a question for you, and then, Mike, you'll have a backup one. So you take over this job, pretty prestigious job, but you also have the number one pick. Is that going to add pressure to it, or are you going to go into it that we're going to have to develop this young man, whomever it is, and we'll see what happens after that?
Yeah, it's the National Hockey League. There's pressure everywhere. I think it's exciting to have the first overall pick, and it gives our fans some hope that what we have already in the cupboard here with prospects, that we're not far away. And this is just going to enhance our prospect pool and get a player and, you know, two players that are really going to help our team for the future.
All right, and Mike, I don't want to rain on Ryan's parade, but how tough was it to let David go, being that you guys had the BU connection and you came in together?
Yeah, it was very difficult. You know, Quinny and I have been friends for probably close to 30 years, and I get a lot of respect for him. He's a good coach, even better person. And, you know, this is something that affects his, not only his profession, but his family. So it wasn't something that I took lightly at all. It's it's the unfortunate side of the business, but, you know, I think it was important for us to move forward as an organization. And, you know, we're really excited for the next chapter here with Ryan.
For Josh Duo with AP. For Mike, how obviously Ryan's got a lot of experience working with young guys and developing. You're going to be a pretty young team. How important was that and what you were looking for in your head coach?
Yeah, very important. You know, he's did a good job developing players in Chicago, and that's, you know, I think what's underestimated is that he had two different organizations trying to give him young players to work with and develop, and he did a great job and ended up winning a Calder Cup down there with that group. So it was very important. I think it's also the opportunity to grow with our group. Like you said, we're going to be young. He's a young coach, and hopefully the whole crew can just kind of grow together and win together and take next steps. So it was definitely a part of the process.
A question for you, Mike. You know, we've talked a lot about how Ryan's been here since David Quinn was brought in. Was part of the decision made because of his familiarity with that core that you've begun to build? And then I'll have another one for you, Ryan, afterward.
I mean, everything was kind of considered when we went into this. It definitely did help him that he knows these players. He knows what they've been through. He knows what they need. He knows how some of them learn and the best way to teach them and to get across to them. So it was definitely, you know, a bonus for him to have been around our players.
And then, Ryan, for you, it's kind of, you know, we talked about the excitement, the number one pick, first time in history. Just, you know, for yourself, being able to connect with the players, you are the youngest active NHL head coach in the league. Does that, do you almost look at that as an advantage for your coaching style, where you are so close in age to some of these guys and can really connect, especially with a young team like the Sharks?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm not that far away from this generation that's coming. And, you know, I think everyone's taught differently. And it's my job to understand that and to figure out these players, not just as players, but as human beings first. I'll get to know them as a human being, then I'll get going on them as a player. But understanding what they what each player goes through off the ice, on the ice, there's different things that happens in players' lives. There's social media that's in play now. There's pressures from the outside world, agents, family. So we have to have an understanding of that as a coaching staff. But first and foremost, I got to understand what they are as human beings, how they're taught. You know, are they a visual learner? Can they look through video? Does it need to be on-ice instruction? So that's going to be my job with the younger generation that's coming. And I really do feel like I'm not that far away from them, so I understand where they're coming from.
Hey, Ryan, Mark Lukolovich, Bay Area Sports Rep. You must be really excited to work with these kids that are coming up, the Smiths, the Beasteds, the soon-to-be number one pick. When you went going through this interviewing process, was that the thing that really got you excited about wanting to take this job as the San Jose Sharks' next head coach?
Yeah, I think that was, you know, it was an important part of it. And the other part is I know the players that are here. We just went through two really tough years. I know what they need. They're beat up a little bit. We need some new life. We need some energy. We need some positivity. You know, now we have some hope with our prospects that are coming. But this is an exciting, really exciting chapter in this franchise with the prospects that Mike's brought in and drafted. And we're starting to see develop through, you know, the American Hockey League and now with this draft we have coming up. So exciting times are definitely ahead.
And for Mike, the familiarity that Ryan's had with the core group of these young players coming in, is that something that was kind of gave him the edge to this coaching position over maybe the other people you get interviewed with?
I wouldn't say it gave him an edge. I think it was, you know, it was a bonus for him. But, you know, the other things I've talked about already today is probably what mattered most. You know, the person he is and the energy and the ability to connect and the fact that he knew our group was a bonus, but I wouldn't say it was a huge advantage.
Curtis?
Question for Ryan and for Mike. I mean, we mentioned the prospects. Will Smith just signed here. You know, it looks like Malcolm Celebrini is going to be in the Sharks organization. What is the best way to develop these young players? Obviously, they're huge parts of this team's future. What is the best way to develop them going forward here? Is it time in the American League? Is it just if they're in the NHL next year, just seeing how they adjust? Like, what is the best way to go about it?
I don't think anyone knows. if teams knew, I think everyone would be doing it. I think we have an idea what's best for these kids and how we're going to proceed with their development. But hopefully it works out. But like I said, I don't think anyone knows right now. When you're dealing with 18, 19-year-old kids, I don't think anyone has the magic remedy to what's going to work. We have things that we think are going to work and things we'll do, but at the end of the day, we'll have to just kind of see how it goes.
And just, Ryan, I mean, this team gave up, I believe it was 331 goals last year. Tactically, what is the top priority in terms of just cutting that down and just, I guess, what is your number one priority, I guess, once you get to talk to the players?
Well, the number one priority is start to reach out to all the players, start formulating a staff, and then we'll get going on the structure. I have a vision on what it should look like. I know some things that we'll do it differently, but we're still, in June here so far, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you what our system's going to be and give other teams our advantage. So, but it will be different. You'll have to stay tuned.
Bill Belichick guy right there.
This is Charan Birmahal from INDTV USA. First question's for Ryan. If you can you articulate what particular changes you're looking to make as compared to David Quinn and what similarities that we might see going forward in the coaching?
Stay tuned. I'm from New England. I'm a big Belichick guy. There'll be some changes. Yeah. You know, obviously, the numbers weren't great. The analytics weren't great. We have to make changes. There has to be a system in place that our players know what's going on. They understand the system. We're not teaching the system in game 62 and 65. There's some predictability with it. We know when we have the puck, we know what we want to do with it. When we don't have the puck, we know what we want to do to get it back. So that's kind of my vision, and the structure part will develop, you know, through the summer and get ready for training camp.
And one for Mike. When he took over the helm, the prospect pool for the Sharks was not so great, to say the least. Where do you feel we are now, especially after the number one pick, and where do you see the pool? Do you feel that in the next year or so, we're going to start to see that transition where the focus isn't on that so much and it's more on winning the cup?
I mean, it's in a better spot for sure than when I got here. But we have to keep building it, and we got to keep plugging holes. And I don't think you're ever satisfied with it. You know, the way to win in this league is to draft and develop. So, you know, it's always going to be a priority of ours to keep doing that. We feel good about where we are as far as, you know, some of the guys we have coming. But we also have to keep in mind that these kids are 18, 19, 20 years old, and not to put the weight of the world on them. There's still a lot of growth left in these guys that hopefully we can get the best out of them.
And the lessons for Jonathan, you know, obviously in the previous years, especially where the Sharks were, the ticket sales were suffering and a lot of fans griping. Now the question is, when are you looking to go back to getting close to the salary cap? And what do you think about the future of the ticket sales here?
Yeah, I think you may have heard me say in various things, we had the best renewal season, at least that I can remember since I've got here, and probably since the Stanley Cup run. May sales were, I think, a record for a history of May. June is shaping up just as strong as well. So it looks like this will be the best offseason we had when it comes to ticket sales. In terms of spending the cap, I think we're always a cap team. This year, they're, you know, with so many people on their entry-level contract, it'll be hard to get all the way to the cap. But that's the philosophy, spend to win. So Hasso always gives us what we can to put a successful team around.
Hi, Brian. Chris Alvarez from ABC7. Congratulations. I'm curious when you thought that you landed the job in the interview process, when you're going through, it's like, I think I have it now.
I don't know if... yeah, when I got the call from Mike on Tuesday night, whenever it was, it was a long process, thorough process, and that's how it should be. I thought I put a good plan in place with Mike and his staff when we met, you know, a few weeks back, and the process unfolded and we communicated as the weeks went on. And I don't know if there was any one moment, but I think the happiest moment was when he called me that night. And yeah.
First, Jonathan, I just want to ask you, and you just kind of touched on it, but just can you touch about the excitement from the fan base and just this summer from getting the number one pick and obviously a new coach too, but just in general, can you speak to that excitement, tangible excitement compared to past summers perhaps?
Yeah, I was asking Ryan whether I should expect a Ryan ticket sales bump after the announcement, and there was in fact a bump today, so I'm going to give it to you. No, in fact, I mean, obviously the mood around the franchise substantially changed after the number one pick and that puck went our way. You've seen the gigantic teal number one going around the Bay Area, which has attracted a ton of fans. There's a lot of online sentiment. I think we're north of 12,000 people now registered for the draft party here in this building, so it seems likely that that will sell out. I think the largest ever draft party was Chicago's last year, which was under 5,000. So I don't know, we might have a chance to double the record of the number of people showing up for a draft party. So I think there's a lot of enthusiasm. Having said, this is a young team, so it'll take a while for a young team to come together. But I think the mood is substantially there.
And Mike, a question for you. In terms of next season, obviously you want the results, the wins, you know, more points, all that kind of stuff. But what are you looking for to improve besides that kind of obvious stuff, just sort of the under-the-hood stuff that you're looking to improve?
Well, I think we'll have a call next week to kind of get into kind of more of this stuff, not to brush you off or anything. But I want today is about Ryan and his family and his journey here. So we'll celebrate to that. That other stuff, we'll have our pre-draft call and
I'm happy to get into that stuff with you, but today's more about Ryan.
And perfect. My last question is for Ryan. Ryan, I wanted to ask you, in your previous stops in South Carolina and in the Hurricanes organization, you went from assistant to head coach within the same organization. So just what is that like? Like, how are you going to be different now you're a head coach as opposed to assistant coach?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to change very much. You know, obviously the role changes, the title changes. The players know me. If I go in there and act something like I'm not, they're going to see right through me. So I'm going to be myself. I'll probably be a little bit more demanding and a little bit more black and white at times, and a little bit more harder on some you know, topics and some issues. But I'm still going to have the relationship. I'm a relationship-based coach. You know, I'm gonna you know, kind of push these guys and challenge them. But you know, I don't want these guys to have individual goals. I think that's really important. But we have to remember, we're not going to get those individual goals if we don't play as a team. So, again, not a whole lot's going to change. I've done this, been in this role, situation before, like you said, and I'm excited about it.
Okay, Mike and Ryan, at what point will you guys realize that this number one player, whomever it is, when are you guys going to realize if it's going to be a Bedard situation where he's playing right away, or it might be like Byfield where he did it in minors for a while? So at what point do you make that decision?
Well, first of all, meet with Macklin and his family, and if it is Macklin, did I say Macklin? We'll meet with them and see Macklin. We'll meet with his agents and his family and just to try and decide what's best for him and his development. And he's different than those other guys that he'll go back to school. You know, Byfield and some of those other guys go back to junior or situations like that. But you know, I think we'll work together and just try and figure out what the best plan of is for him and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, like Mike said, there'll be a plan in place, and you know, everyone's developed differently, and you know, spikes at different times in their careers, and we're going to sit down and we'll talk and make a plan and go out there and execute it.
Before we get to the jersey presentation, Mike, you have one more remark to make?
Yeah, thanks everyone for coming out. We appreciate the support as always. You guys have been great here since I've gotten here, and supporting myself and the hockey team. And just one more thing I wanted to put to bed for you media guys is stuff's out there that I'm looking to trade Logan Couture or anything like that. That is absolutely false. If you look at us bringing in young players here and having a young team, he's exactly the type of person you want to have around your young players. He's our captain. He's our leader. He had a tough year. But we love him as a person, most importantly, and he's still a heck of a hockey player. So any of those, you guys can put any of those thoughts about me looking to trade our captain, put those to bed.
So with that, I'd like to ask Mike Greer and Jonathan Becker to present Ryan with his team's jersey for a photo opportunity. This jersey. Ryan, we want to get your family up here as well. Yeah. Okay. If you want to come up and take a photo with Ryan? Yeah, it's up to you. If you want them all together.
You're listening to Sharks Hockey Digest on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
News conference has concluded here at SAP Center at San Jose, and a lot of exciting things happening, including some news made by General Manager Mike Greer a moment ago, Ted Ramey, in that any type of rumor involving a potential trade of Captain Logan Couture is absolutely false, which is something that we kind of knew anyway, but just to quell any speculation about that. And I think that's big news for the new head coach of the San Jose Sharks, is right now Ryan and his family are right now posing. His lovely wife, Caroline, and the two kids are there. And a lot of people that have made a big difference in his life are here to celebrate really a big moment in the career of a young coach who's got a lot of upside in terms of what he's going to produce.
Yeah, it was great to hear him talk about just the things that his family meant to him, his brothers, people who helped him along his journey. I think that we got to see some of that emotion and fire that we'd heard alluded to, which I thought was, again, we talked about earlier, authentic. We talked about that genuine nature that we've heard people reference about him, and to see it in this press conference, I thought was very, very special. As we now have the general manager of the San Jose Sharks, Mike Greer, sitting down with us. And Mike, good to see you. Congratulations on the hire. A very big day for you on what is the start of what's going to be a very big summer for you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Good seeing you. Yeah, it's a big day for the organization and in our group. You know, we got our leader to kind of lead us, and you know, I think we're in good hands with Ryan. I think the players, they've all been excited, whether they're you know, reaching out to me and reaching out to him. I think there's some excitement with our returning players within the group. So I'm thrilled. I'm really happy for Ryan. He's worked hard. He's kind of gone about it a little bit of the old-fashioned way, like he said, working his way up from Division III and through the East Coast League and you know, the American League, and then being an assistant. He's checked off a lot of boxes and worked his way up. So, you know, I'm excited to see what's next for him. I think there's a lot of potential for him to be a really good coach in this league.
Well, one thing's for sure, Mike, is he's been a winner wherever he's been. He's won the championship twice in the American Hockey League, once as an assistant coach in Charlotte, and the other time as the head coach with the Chicago Wolves. And that Wolves team was interesting in that he was working with some veteran players there, but he also had some young kids too, and he helped develop them while being in the atmosphere of trying to be a winner. Kind of sounds like that's what he's got to do at this level. It's a big challenge to do it, but what about that factor of his skill set that helped you decide that he was a good choice in that regard?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I think if you go back to, I think it's when his first head coaching job, I think it was 31, in the East Coast League, where you got a lot of older players, he took that team to the finals. They lost in the finals, but so that shows you being a young guy, being able to relate with some of the older players. And then, you know, I actually did a lot of background and vetting with players from those Chicago teams. Some guys that were veterans, and then some of the young players, and they all had the same thing. You know, how well he related to them and how he coached everyone the same, but cared about them off the ice and pushed them and challenged them. So, you know, it's pretty unique to be able to be his age and relate to the young guys but push the young guys, but at the same time keep the older guys kind of in check and be able to be hard on them and maybe set them out of the lineup when, you know, when he was coaching that, there was probably some guys in the lineup that were probably even older than he was. So he's got a good good way with people and a good way to manage the players.
Mike, a lot of questions to Ryan were about tactics, about structure. But I was kind of thinking about another difficult task for him and you as well, is getting the team to forget about last year as they move forward and make sure there's no, I don't know if hangover is the right term, but to remember that any challenges they faced in the seasons prior, that doesn't have an impact on what they're embarking upon this upcoming season.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's going to be a challenge for not only him, but myself and our leadership group coming back. I think, you know, people talked about the bonus that he had of knowing the players, but at the same time, he's also been a part of the last 2 years, so he had some that going against him. So it's definitely going to be something I think he's working on. He's reached out to our players already and talking with them, and I think it's a clean slate. You know, we got through the last couple of years, especially last year was tough, but it's a new start. We got some fresh blood coming in, and I think everyone's excited to get going.
He has experience, Mike, at being an assistant coach and then being promoted to becoming head coach of that same team before. And I heard him in his news conference statement. He was talking about getting to know guys. And I think what he's talking about is in his new role, because it's different being an assistant coach and being a head coach. Obviously, he's very capable of doing that. But what do you think the biggest difference is right now in this modern NHL era with becoming a head coach as opposed to being an assistant?
Yeah, so from even my personal experience as an assistant, you're kind of the friend a little bit. You know, it's a good cop, bad cop thing a lot when you're the assistant, and, you know, it's all, hey, don't worry about it, you're doing okay, you know, like you're going to be fine, and you know, making sure guys leave meetings or leave practices feeling good about themselves and not taking the message too hard, where when you're the head guy, you got to be able to drop the hammer. You got to challenge guys. You got to push them a little bit, and sometimes those are going to be uncomfortable conversations. And I think that's something that Ryan's not afraid to have, those types of talks. But to his point, I think his whole thing is getting to know the person first and letting the players know that he cares about them individually, about their lives and their on ice success and their off ice success. And I think he does a good job of that, and that gives him the ability to kind of be hard on them and push them.
How big of a factor was Ryan's age with this hiring? And he even alluded to talking about the pressures on social media that modern athletes deal with. We know he's going to be dealing with a lot of young players on this Sharks team. Did that play a role in your decision-making, or was it part of your decision-making, the fact that he is maybe able to relate to them a bit more closely?
Maybe a little bit. Not too much. You know, we talked to some good candidates of all different ages, but, you know, I think whether how old he is or not, I think it's just the ability that he has to connect with people and bond with them. So, you know, it probably lucked out maybe that he's on the younger side, but, you know, overall, if you were someone who's in their 50s and you had the ability to really relate and communicate people and get the most out of them, then, you know, we would have gone that route. But Ryan had a lot of other boxes checked as well.
We're visiting with Mike Greer, the general manager of the San Jose Sharks, on this very special day. Ryan Warsofsky has been officially named the head coach of the San Jose Sharks. And Mike, I wanted to ask you about the whole process of arriving at the conclusion that Ryan was the best man for the job. One little thing that happens during that process when you talk to people outside the organization is you might learn things about your organization from a different perspective that you didn't know. Did that happen with you?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to definitely kind of hear what people think and what perception is out there. And as you go through the interview, you learn a little bit about the organization, about how it's perceived. And you're also able to pick up little bits and pieces about what other organizations do or other coaches do. So, you know, I think one of the main things that kind of came through was how exciting of a job this is. I think people are really excited about the prospect of coming here and turning this around. It's been a franchise that's been successful for so long that I think a lot of people are really excited about the challenge of turning it around. It's a great building to play in. It's got great fan base, and you know, we have some young talent on the way. So you know, going into the search, I was not sure how it would be received, but you know, people were calling me from out of the woodwork. People were coached in the league a long time and are very good coaches, and they were interested. So I think it's, you know, that was the main thing. I think how people kind of are excited about the direction we're headed.
You were very forthright, Mike, about your statement and Logan Couture not being on the trading block. How important, and you can speak to this as your experience as a player with the Shark, but how important is it to have those veterans to teach these young players that are coming in what it means to be a San Jose Shark, that remember how things were when this franchise was humming along and a contender each and every year?
No, it's definitely important to have a little bit of legacy here in history and the guys who've been through it and know what it's like when the tank's rocking and to win here. So it's very important. You know, we're going to be young. We're going to have some good young players in the lineup, and you need good vets around here to support them and insulate them, and so these guys don't feel like the weight of the world's on them, that they got to produce every night, and also teach them what it's like to be a pro, nutrition, sleep, all that stuff, stretching, taking care of your body, hydration, all these little things that we have some good pros in the room that can help these guys, and it's I don't think you can ever underestimate their importance, and
like I said, Logan's our captain and the leader of the group. And, you know, I think he got all the respect in the world for him. So, you know, I think he's the exact type of person I'd like to have be around our young players.
And, of course, all of that relates to the job that you have now. You have a draft coming up. You have the first selection, the 14th selection at this point, four picks in the top 42, and then some picks coming in the next couple of years. But how much does the fact that you have that first pick, that you have Will Smith signed, to perhaps attract players with some experience, because you are going to change your roster a little bit, does that make the Sharks a more enticing place to play?
For sure. I think, you know, if you're, you know, a veteran out there and a scoring winger, I think it, you know, it's definitely become a more attractive place. You know, you can play with a young player who can get you the puck and plays with a lot of energy and is very talented. And, you know, I think those are the types of players that people want to play with. And so I think it's definitely, we've definitely become definitely more intriguing for some of the free agents out there.
Well, we are intrigued and we are certainly excited about this time. And Mike, thanks a lot for the time that you've spent with us today.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
That is Mike Grier, the general manager of the San Jose Sharks. We are at a very special news conference naming Ryan Warsofsky the head coach of this San Jose Sharks hockey team.
You're listening to Sharks Hockey Digest on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We'd like to welcome somebody else to our broadcast. That would be Randy Hahn stepping into our little sphere here. How are you?
It's a little one compared to the real sphere, that's for sure.
No kidding.
Cheaper, though.
Much cheaper.
Big day for the organization, Randy. And you and I have been through this a number of times over the years. He is the second youngest head coach in the Sharks. Kevin Constantine still has that by just a little bit. He was 34, turned 35. Ryan's 36. He'll be 37 when he becomes the head coach in the first month of the season. But just your thoughts on today.
Well, first of all, very happy for Ryan. You know, your first NHL head coaching job is the culmination of a dream. I didn't get a chance to ask Ryan or haven't asked him yet when he first started dreaming about being an NHL head coach. It probably wasn't when he was 9 or 10 years old laying in bed, because kids don't dream about becoming coaches. They want to be players. But at some point that transition occurred where coaching was going to be his calling. And I just wonder when in that process he started thinking about this day, the possibility of this day, and when that plan started to be put in place, because he strikes you as being an organized person and someone with goals and dreams and a plan of attack on how to get there. And I'd be interested to know just when that switch flipped. But most happy for him because of what it represents today, getting to the NHL as a head coach. It's huge. As we know, there's just 32 of them. Actually, there's a job available now, as Columbus just fired their coach about 5 minutes ago. So
the carousel
continues to turn. But that's the first thing that strikes me is the happiness for Ryan, who we've gotten to know over the last couple of years as an assistant coach. And I think it's an exciting time for the organization. This kind of the kickoff before Celebrini, you know, coming at the end of the month in the draft, and then the players who will be picked after that. And then the development camp, when we start seeing some of these players who we've been hearing about and see how they come together. But it's certainly a nice kickoff to what should be an interesting summer leading up to training camp.
We've heard a lot of former players that Ryan's worked with talk about him kind of bringing them into the fire with him. And we got to see some of that emotion on stage today. And what Dan and I talked about, that if players talk about a coach that way, that means that it's authentic. It's not a contrived methodology of trying to motivate somebody. That's who he is. And I thought it was refreshing to see that from him. You could see how much it truly means to him.
Yeah, and you can't be, it can't be contrived. You have to be yourself. And, you know, he addressed that. How do you transition from being the assistant coach, which sometimes is that bridge person between the players and the head coach, to being the head coach now? How do you change? And you do change a little bit, but I think your core values stay the same, and he understands that. And you know, the players are all very sophisticated, and depending on how long they've been in the league, they've gone through a few coaches already, some of them with other teams, so they can detect you know, somebody who's not authentic right away, I think. So that's key for him. And And, you know, I have to say that that's always been the way he's dealt with us. And I felt that's the way David Quinno has dealt with us, too. And, you know, all these coaches, they as they come up, they grab a little bit from each person they come into contact with as far as what they want to add to their way of doing things. And I'm sure if you sat Ryan down at length, he could talk to a number of things that he learned from David Quinn in the last 2 years. And hey, David Quinn's the man who gave him his first job in the NHL as an assistant. So that's a tie that will always be strong going forward.
And he's got a lot of history with that. I mean, it goes back to Mike Sullivan, who's from his hometown. Yeah. Another excellent coach in the NHL. And then coaches that some people may not have heard of, Mike Vellucci, for one, is somebody that I think that should be mentioned because he was the head coach of the team in Charlotte. They won a Calder Cup together. He was the assistant coach. And let's not forget about his brother, David, who played in the NHL for a handful of teams. And that's that family atmosphere. I got a real sense of that today.
Yeah, you can tell that there are lots of ties, both family ties and hockey ties in the background of Brian Warsawski, going back to his days growing up in Massachusetts, all the way to South Carolina, where he got his first pro head coaching job in the ECHL. And what a little coaching factory that franchise has turned out to be now. Three of the current 31 head coaches in the NHL all came through the Carolina Stingrays, I think they're called.
Yep.
So that's something they can hang their hat on. Fascinating that a place, you talk about non-traditional hockey markets. That,
cradle of coaches.
Yes, absolutely.
Randy, as a final one for you, yep. I guess, you know, I was talking to Dan about this, and you've seen all the previous head coaches. What are you going to be looking for Ryan?
Well, you know, I think that it takes a little while for a coach to put his fingerprints on a team. You know, that'll start in training camp. But you know what? I think you always learn the most about coaches through adversity. And I think we're probably guaranteed to see a little bit of that. Hopefully not as much early on as we saw last October and into November. But, you know, I think you look for how you handle those situations, how you handle player accountability. I think that's a big thing with a head coach. You know, the only way you can really keep players accountable is with ice time. And David Quinn wasn't afraid to use ice time in that way. And it'll be interesting to see how Warsawski, you know, keeps his team accountable. Those are the things you look for, I think, especially right out of the bat. And I have no doubt that he's well-versed in that, having won championships at the pro level already.
Well, Randy, we know you've got other stuff to do, so we'll let you go. But we appreciate your time here today, and we'll be seeing you again on what's the start of a very fun summer for the San Jose Sharks.
Yes, it will be. Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Randy Hahn joining us today. Good to see him here at our news conference. The place was really, really well attended by members of the media. We have Ryan Warsawski right now having a chat with a variety of members of the media, taking some individual one-on-ones. That's how these things go, Ted.
Yeah.
You have the official unilateral, so to speak, with people with the microphone that we heard. And then afterwards, if people have any more questions they'd like to ask, they go right in there. But we also notice that Mike Ricci is here. We see Charlie Townsend, who's on the Sharks staff, is here. We see a lot of people in the Sharks organization that are behind the scenes. And, of course, Ryan's parents and his mentor, Ralph Kincannon, who is somebody I think that was very important for him, too, in South Carolina. And so all of these people are here to have a celebration day. It's kind of a party, right? Oh, right now he's taking a picture with S.J. Sharkey. That's got to be the highlight of his day.
Yeah, they're getting a frame version of that to put up at home. And you talk about all the people here, Dan, and it kind of got me back to what Jonathan was talking about with the 12,000 people plus going to be here for the draft party, where, again, not to shamelessly self-promote, we will be broadcasting live from right here on the Sharks Audio Network. But they also talked about the fact that they're getting more and more season ticket sales. And that's, you know, it's at a high that he's seen since the Stanley Cup final run. And just to see the excitement building around the franchise right now, I think that's great to hear, because we've had to deal with the downtimes over the past couple of years. We haven't been to the playoffs since 2019, which was a great run to the Western Conference final. But now I think fans and the sports community here in the Bay Area can see that this is the start of the next stage of Sharks hockey. And the fact that this new head coach, Ryan Warsawski, gets to be here for all of that, gets to bring in Will Smith and what we would assume would be Macklin Celebrini, and, you know, see the Shakir Mukhmadulin start to develop, and all these other players that we're so excited about. we, like Randy alluded to, we are sure there's going to be some hard times still in the future, but the exciting young players, the exciting talent, the excitement around the Sharks right now, Dan, I feel that's palpable in a way that it wasn't maybe 3-4 months ago.
Well, I talk about it in the word relevancy. You know, the fact that the Sharks are becoming relevant again in terms of the overall discussion in the National Hockey League. And they lost some of that when they only had 19 wins last year. But as Mike Greer said to all of us, that was something that they had to do. They absolutely had to make these moves. They had to free up salary cap space. They had to get draft and develop a little bit better. And the thing is, they want to have players in that same age group that are developing together. That's the hardest part. The Detroit Red Wings are still going through that. They're on the verge of getting back into the playoffs, but think about it. It's been 8 years now for them. So think of, when you really analyze that, you have to say, okay, there could be some long nights, but at least now we know that that the Sharks have started the process. And you know what? This reminds me of the late 1990s when the Sharks were had already beaten Detroit, had already beaten Calgary, had already had some playoff runs, but then fell out of the conversation for a couple of years. And what happened? Well, they drafted people like Scott Hannon and Patrick Marleau, Marco Sturm. Andre Zuzan was a first-round draft pick in that same time, but you had Marleau and Thornton together. And that's when really things started to cook. And you look at the other teams. You've got people like, I don't know, Chicago, Kane, yeah. Taves, Pittsburgh, Malkin, Crosby. You go on and on through the NHL, and you find you have to have a couple of guys together, Draisaitl, McDavid.
Right.
Same thing. So the Sharks now have Will Smith, and they're going to get, ostensibly, Macklin Celebrini. That is really the start of really some seminal times in the history of this franchise. And again, it reminds me of the late 1990s, where the Sharks did improve right away. Now, are they going to go from 24 points in 1992-93 to 82 and make the playoffs and beat Detroit in the first round? I think that's a little unlikely, but I think that positive steps are going to happen with this team, and Ryan is going to be a big part of that. And by the way, Ryan's going to join us in a few minutes.
Well, I'm excited for that, but I also wanted to point out that one of the things that Mike Greer has been consistent about saying as we talk about the excitement moving forward is that he does not want to skip steps. And I know that we are expecting to see an improvement over 19 wins. But at the same time, he knows there's still the opportunity for this team to acquire more draft capital and keep things running and keep things rolling. That, to me, it's very exciting because there is clearly a plan at work and he doesn't want to get ahead of himself. There is a relative rush. Everyone wants to see wins sooner than later, but he knows that he can't try and accelerate things too quickly lest it, you know, interrupt the advancement and natural maturation of the team.
And it was good to hear Mike Greer making some news about Logan Couture. Everybody was waiting to hear some speculation about that. He's going nowhere. And we talked to Logan at the end of the season, and here was his review of the year.
Better. Yeah, I feel good. I've been training, obviously not skating or anything, but better than I was a couple months ago.
And that's obviously something that we're all happy to hear about. Other players that came over at the end of the year to talk about what their view of the season was included Mario Ferraro, who's one of the big personalities on this club.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, is obviously it being a tough season. You know, we still survived it, right? And you could look at it like you look back and you try and learn things from the season and, you know, you have some time to put the work in and be ready for next training camp. And I think that, you know, that definitely gives that's the positive outlook on it. Obviously you don't want to take any year for granted, right? And I don't think that this is a wasted year. I think there's a lot of growth that can be made from it. And that's what builds the confidence. And at the end of the day, if you work hard this summer and you earn that opportunity back in September, October, it's going to be clean slate and a fresh opportunity again. So, that kind of gives us a little bit of a mental break. I think right now it's a good opportunity too, though, to kind of forget about hockey for a little bit, refresh, and enjoy our lives outside of it, and then build up that energy and that motivation to continue to get better and get ready for September.
Well, disconnecting is an important part of going through the preparation for the next campaign. Mario Ferraro, I'm told, is the master at disconnecting because I think he's going out on a tour of the outdoors with his girlfriend, McKenna. They're having
fiance now.
Oh, right, fiance, correct. And interestingly, that they've really discovered some national parks. They like to go camping. Mm-hmm. It's a way to just totally get away from the game for a little bit, and he kind of referenced that there.
I think it's necessary, especially after a year like the Sharks had last year, as well as the season prior. There have only been 41 wins over the last two seasons. Being able to disconnect, being able to disengage from social media, from what everybody is constantly discussing about you and your sport and your team, yeah, you've got to do that. And I think that Mario Ferraro, he's obviously one of those guys that we look to for the leadership. He's got the A on his sweater at such a young age for an obvious reason. He's brutally honest with us, Dan. I mean, he tells us exactly what's going on in his mind. He tells us about the team. And it's not like this is a private conversation. He's facing the cameras after the games and giving us very, very detailed answers. So he lives it. He's very cognizant of everything that's happening around the franchise. So for him to be able to pull back, that's a huge thing for him. And also, we know he's no slouch in the fitness department. He's out there being active at the same time while he's getting away from the sport.
Oh, don't think he's not training, because he's definitely doing that. But he is very honest with us, and he learned that from people like Logan Couture, right? Joe Pavelski, Joe Thornton before him, Dan Boyle. These are guys that were always very, very honest with us, with the members of the media, and with the fan base as to exactly where he feels the team is. Same thing with Mikael Granlund, who gave us an overview of his year at the end of the campaign.
I mean, it was a tough season for everybody, not winning a lot and going, kind of being in a situation where we were having some of the injuries and all that. So, but the good thing is I'm sure we're going to be better next season, and there's obviously some good things about this season.
And so obviously that's another important factor is the man is coming aboard. Ryan Warsawski, the new head coach of the San Jose Sharks, is with us. It was a very exciting morning and an exciting day. And a pretty emotional couple of moments for you there as you thought about and reflected on your path to get to the NHL. One thing we wanted to know is, when did this become a dream for you? When did you really want to become a head coach in the NHL?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just, you know, talking to a couple other reporters about this, and I'll never forget it. And Mike Sullivan was coaching the Boston Bruins, and I was in his office. I think I was at, you know, Cushing Academy, and we came down for the day. And it was morning skate, and we were just sitting there talking about certain players. And he liked one player, and I didn't like the one player, and he was getting his team prepared to play that night. And I just started watching Mike and talking to Mike through his journey of being a coach. And I've always followed his playing career, and he opened his door up to me, and I, you know, kind of jumped through it and, you know, took it all in. And I'll never forget, you know, after I left that, you know, I told him, hey, I think I want to get into coaching when I'm done playing. He said, no, you're not. Not a chance. And he reminded me that after he got fired in Boston, and his journey has been tough too. And, you know, he was people forget he wasn't coaching, you know, for a little while there before he won those two cups. And, you know, so back when I was probably 16, 17 years old, it's probably when it's hit me where, you know, this is what I want to do. I'm all in. And I had known that through my short playing career that once I was done, I was going to get into coaching and start trying to work my way up through the ranks.
When is this reality start to hit in? Has it yet?
Not really, to be honest. I'm still going through that process. There's been different checkpoints and moments through this. You know, when Mike called me, it was an emotional time. I was with my family. And then, you know, the coming days of all the phone calls and the text messages and hearing from people that I haven't talked to in a while. And then today, this has been a special moment. And having Father's Day yesterday and my dad here today was really, really cool.
Also, you mentioned somebody else, Ralph Kincannon, who had a big influence on your life. Tell us about who he is and what he means.
Yeah, you know, Rob, we call him Kooks. Yeah, that's his nickname. And played down in South Carolina, played in the minors, and became the president there. And he's just the greatest man. He's always been so supportive. He'll fly to, you know, Carolina to watch us play. He flies to, you know, Vegas to come watch us play. He's very supportive of Spencer, Jared Bednar, Cale McLean, you know, Jason Fitzsimmons, who scouts for Washington, of this little fraternity we have down there. And he's the one that kind of orchestrated it all. And he's just so supportive. He's one of my, you know, I work for him, and now he's one of my closest friends because he's always there for me. And when I'm going through, you know, a tough stretch in the season, he's the easy one to loosen me up and make me laugh. And
He puts life in perspective at times, and he always has the greatest quote when I'm complaining about some certain coaching thing that's going on. He's like, hey, you signed up for this. So he keeps me grounded, but he's a great, great, great man.
One thing I want to ask you about is that fraternity, because obviously these are people that you can rely on. People don't realize that coaches actually do talk to each other, especially the ones that have worked together.
Yeah. You know, I talked to, Jared Bednar just the other day about things, and he obviously went from the American League right to the NHL, and, we were talking about training camp and how he structured it. And I've talked to Spencer almost every day since I've gotten the job. I've talked to Sully, Heinze, and that I've got to know, and Derek Lalonde, who I worked with at World Championships. It's I'm very fortunate to have that type of people around me to lean on and ask questions, and even John Tortorella, who I got to know over the last few years, he was really we've had some really good conversations, him and I. So I've got a really good network of people around me, and I hope want it to grow, and I want to reach out to other sports coaches and find out what they do differently and how we can learn and get better. That's what I'm all about. If I'm going to ask my players to get better, I got to try to get better too.
So I was telling my two boys who are 10 and 8 about you, because they were asking about the new hire. And I said, oh, and he's 36. And they said, what does that matter? I was like, oh, it's young. He'll get along with the athletes. They said, it's not that young, Dad. I was like, thanks, kids. That's great. But you referenced the social media, the pressures that the young athlete faces these days. I'm curious, the fact that you are aware of that, that you've grown up with that reality. Do you think that'll help you with a lot of the young players that you're now tasked with coaching?
Yeah, I think for sure. And like I touched upon, that's real. Celebrini and Smith and – I mean, there's Instagram, there's likes, there's Twitter, there's people that say stuff about them, right or wrong, true or false, that they're going to see. And we got to make sure we have a good structure and foundation around them, good support system around them. They're going to get pulled in different directions. And I think that can play with your mind a little bit. We're going to ask them to be physically in shape, demand physical presence about themselves, to being well-conditioned athletes. But we also have to remember that there's a brain up there that goes through some emotions, and that we have to be cognizant of that. And, I'm very aware, because I'm not that far from that, removed from that generation.
To jump on that, they've been getting pumped up since they were 15, 16 years old, some of these guys. I mean, that's part of that brain that you have to deal with as well, because they maybe haven't encountered difficulty along the way the same way that they are when they get to the American League or the National League.
Yeah, 100%. Will Smith is going to go through his challenges. That's real. Connor Bedard went through his challenges. The numbers are his numbers, but he still went through his challenges. And Will Smith will do that. Macklin will do that. Henry, we just saw, go through that. I had Gustav Forsling in Charlotte years ago, and if you had told me he was going to be a top two defenseman in the Stanley Cup Finals, I don't know if I could have told you that, because we just don't know how this is going to progress, and everyone blooms and kind of goes off their own way. So I think it's important to be patient at times. We saw that with Henry, individually just working with him. He went through his ups and downs of his season, and he got experience from that. And, sometimes experience is what you get when you don't get what you wanted. So, we got to keep building off of that and learning from that, but have an understanding that they're going to go through their challenges, and we got to be there for them.
Obviously, your relationship is going to be a little bit different with the guys now that you are the head coach of the hockey team. And I wanted to ask about the general nature. Players want to be liked. They want to be. They want to know that the coach believes in them.
Yeah.
How important is that to you to convey that as much as possible, especially when you might have a difficult conversation?
Yeah, and I think and that's who I am, right? I think when they know it's coming, it's not personal. Because let's be honest, it's not, this day and age, it's not evil in the locker room. Like, there's a lot of hockey players are really good people. Everyone's a little bit different, and it's up to me to peel onions back and find out what makes people different and how they learn and how I can push them and challenge them. I may be able to push and challenge Henry. Maybe William Eklund I need to give a hug to. So it's up to me to figure that out, and I know this group a little bit, obviously helps. But I think, again, everyone's taught a little bit differently, and I think if you can have those hard conversations knowing it's not personal, knowing it's, I care about you, it's because I want you to get better. It's because I want what's best for you. I want you to see, I see something way more than you probably see, and I always have this conversation with Jake Bean, who plays in Columbus. I had him in Charlotte, and we were working after practice. Like, I can't do that. Josh Morrissey can do that. I can't. And I said, you can't, you got to stop saying that. Don't say I can't. He was a first round pick. He's an offensive, you know, really offensive, the skilled defenseman. I don't want you to ever hear you say you can't do it. And he started thinking, so, okay, that makes sense. Like, you got to make them believe that they can't, they can do something that maybe they don't think they can do. So I feel like I have a pretty good pulse on that. I can push guys a little bit. And I'm excited to get to that point, to see guys and push them and challenge them. And when it's time to have the hard conversations, they know it's coming from a good place.
How are you guys going to celebrate now that it's official?
I think we'll have a dinner tonight with my family, and there's still a lot of work I got to do. I got to, you know, we got to start building the staff and talking to the staff that was here. I've still got to reach out to some more players. I'm going to start getting ready for training camp. Like, it comes quick, right? So meetings got to be in place, changes in the locker room. There's a laundry list, and it's funny. I've leaned on a lot of coaches that have gone through this, and Derek Lawn and Spencer that recently have gone through and gotten this job. And they just said, take a deep breath and just, you know, just check off one box at a time. So I got to kind of just slow down at times and, you know, make sure I don't get too far ahead of myself. But you know, I continue to build the staff and reach out to players is kind of my next thought.
Part of that, just calling them. But in some cases, I remember that coaches have actually visited with players personally. That I
used
to.
You know, Will Smith lives in Massachusetts. I'm there in the offseason. Him and I have already talked. We're probably going to meet up here in the coming weeks to just to, you know, not talk hockey, just see how he is as a person and start forming this relationship. And I'll start reaching out to some guys, maybe if I have to go overseas to see some guys. The one thing is I know the Mikael Granlunds. I know Eklund. I know Zetterlund. We'll start talking over the phone and getting in that relationship, you know, from a different perspective. But, you know, we'll talk to Mike here about going to visit some guys too.
Does the continuity that you already know these guys that are part of the team – will that help them speak your language? Obviously, I know that your tactics and your situation are going to be different than what was here previously, but do you think that these guys will be able to read you and understand what you're trying to put in place a little bit quicker since you have been here?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, I ran the penalty kill, and they see how my – not so much the system, but they see how my meetings flow. They see how I communicate my meetings. They see when the penalty kill is not good and I have a hard meeting that day. They see when I'm happy about what's going on with our penalty kill. They see me, so they see me in different emotions. So they know when I'm upset, when I'm not upset. They know how I teach. They know certain things, whether it's drills or whatnot. But that's probably the biggest thing with our players, is not just the relationships, but they know how I communicate through systems and through, you know, teaching.
Last season was a really tough year. It was very painful for everybody, coaches especially, because you live, breathe, and die this. 19 wins out of 82 is tough. But the one thing that happened all season is that the players never gave up, the ones you had on the roster. How did you manage that? How did you get them to come to work every day with a smile on their face and to give what they had?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a couple things. We're in the National Hockey League. You have to show up. There's people that pay hard money to get to go into this building to watch you. So you better show up and ready to play. There's young kids out there that have role models, and you're one of them. So they have to understand that. You know, credit to the character of our group that, you know, they just kept playing and fighting through it. But it was tough. It was a tough season for all of us. There's a lot of bad taste in our mouth from what's happened in these last few years, not just these last two. And we got to move forward now. You know, we have some hope now. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, I'm excited to get going.
As a last one for you, just getting the team to forget about the past two seasons, how much of a challenge is that going to be?
I think it's going to come almost naturally. I really do, because there'll be some turnover. Mike will obviously make some changes in the roster. We have some draft picks coming in. There's some prospects that are just on the cusp of you know, joining us. So it's going to come naturally with the transition of our roster. But I know our team's a little beaten up. They're a little broken. They need to be loved a little bit. I'm going to coach with some love, and I'm excited.
We're excited, too. We're really happy for you. Congratulations to you and the family, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The head coach of the San Jose Sharks, Ryan Warsofsky, with us here today on the Sharks Audio Network. Ted, what a fantastic day.
Yeah, this is a big day. I know that Ryan's already gotten to deal with us, and we appreciate his time. But you can tell this has been a whirlwind for him. And I think it's been a whirlwind for everybody, just to get to know him, to feel the changes that are coming for the franchise. This is the first step of, like I keep on talking about, what's a very, very big summer for the San Jose Sharks. moves that are going to be made in free agency. Obviously, the draft and a very big number one pick coming up and a number 14. And we don't know what's going to – we have a good idea of what's going to happen with that number one. After that, Dan, there could be any number of outcomes. So it is – it's very exciting. But now the one big piece is in place, and it sets in motion what's going to happen next. And, again, the era of excitement's – the idea that you've got 12,000-plus fans showing up for the draft party, the fact that more people are getting these season tickets, that things are back up in their best numbers since they've been since the Stanley Cup run in 2016. It's just it's that excitement, and it's good to have that feeling back in the building.
Well, the next step for this is going to be the draft party, which happens on the 28th of June at SAP Center at San Jose. We will have full coverage on the Sharks Audio Network. After that, we've got development camp, a summer of training, and then an exciting training camp to get ready for the 24-25 National Hockey League season. It's been great to have you with us today on this special edition of Sharks Hockey Digest. For Ted Ramey, I'm Dan Rusinowski. See you next time.
You've been listening to Sharks Hockey Digest. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.